Watching TV one day, I was channel surfing actually, and it was showing this camera view from on top of a peak of some sort of mountain, someplace in the world. And then all of a sudden, the camera tilts down and it shows a guy's feet. And then another camera pops on and it shows the guy in which you just saw his feet. And he's got one of these suits on that if you spread his arms, it has the webbing and he's going to jump. I do not like heights. I fell when I was probably around third grade out of a tree. It was a pecan tree in Druidan, Louisiana, and I fell 15 feet, and so the front of this leg has scar tissue. And ever since then, I do not like heights. And this guy is going to jump, and it's more than 15 feet. I have no idea. And because I don't like heights, and that's not something I'm going to do, that's not an example I'm going to follow, you know what I did? I changed the channel. But we don't always change the channel, do we? We don't always turn away from those things that are foolish and silly, are wrong and dangerous. Sometimes we don't look away. In fact, we're attracted. We're attracted to sometimes speed, fast cars. We're attracted to, you know, standing up in a pickup going down the interstate. We're attracted to silliness that actually is very dangerous. And sometimes we don't even realize how dangerous it is. For all I knew, he's with our Lord now. When he was 90, he was still driving, and he had a 1959 pickup. And he lived on the other side of a two-lane highway. And he doesn't stop. I served that congregation way past his funeral. But I watched him. I could be at the gas station on the corner and I would see this 1959 green pickup truck coming. He runs over the train tracks and he doesn't stop, and cars are doing this on a highway called Highway 30, and he goes right on through. I have held my breath I don't know how many times per year thinking, you need to take these keys away. But I have no authority to do that. And I think he really had no clue as to how dangerous he was. Today's lessons take us back in time, way before I was serving congregations, way before you were alive. Takes us back into the Old Testament, the days of Moses. Corinthians, Paul's letter, God is telling the people, look at the examples and look what happened. And he points out to this message of a call to repentance. And it's not there in the text, but it's the words that these examples lead to failure. These examples lead to destruction. These examples will cost you if that's what you're going to follow. And the Lenten time, the time when we have this call to repent, it isn't that God wants to be a big bully and tell you and remind you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, and all the no's of Scripture. But it's more like he wants to tell you, I want you to live. I want you to walk with me. I want you to know my love and be filled with my love and share that with others. I want you to be a light in a world of darkness. I want you to be a different kind of example. And he highlights in the days of Moses that, you know, think of all the blessings they had. They were spared the 10 plagues, even the angel of death. By the miracle of the power of the blood of the Lamb on the day that is called Passover, they didn't die. They were spared from the soldiers of Egypt. Remember when they got to the Red Sea and the waters parted? And they walked across on dry ground. And it talks about how they went through the waters. As you and I are spared by the waters of baptism, so were the people of Israel spared by going through the waters of the Red Sea on dry ground. And after they got across, the water came back and the enemy perished. And they were spared starvation. They were given manna, bread from heaven, bread from God. And you and I are given the living bread, the bread, the body of Christ, the blood, the wine of Christ. You and I also have gifts and blessings, all from the hand of God. And on in that narrative that he's got going there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul reminds the people of the examples of how God blessed them, and then what they do with it. Do you remember what they were like in the wilderness? And it tells us what happened to them. It tells us that when they absolutely were rebellious and refused to trust Jesus Christ, God sent snakes. And many were bitten, and they refused to look at the bronze serpent on the pole and the staff of Moses, and they died. Or, you know, on and on, they grumbled. They grumbled at the water's edge. They grumbled at the bottom of the mountain. They grumbled in the wilderness. No matter if God gave them water or manna or quail, the people of Israel grumbled. And it tells us in the scriptures that that cost them. They grumbled against the Lord. And then at the bottom of Mount Sinai, they also made a golden calf. They made an idol of their own choosing, something they thought they could control, something that they could demand from. God in the box. You take them out when you need them. For all of this rebellion, for all of this sinful heart and attitude and behavior, the example that Paul points to is that they perished. And then Paul turns to the group in front of him as he writes this epistle. And in a sense, he's asking, what kind of example are you? For the people following you, where will it lead? Where are you headed? And in Corinth, man, they had some problems. But that's in other parts. So at the end of this lesson, it talks about how, yes, for Israel, life was tough. And sometimes for us, it's also tough. And as God provided blessings to Israel, so God has provided blessings for us. Word and sacrament. Baptism, Lord's Supper, the scriptures, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith. God has provided for us living bread, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And he's encouraging us to repent of our ways, as he's encouraging them to repent of their ways, of when we make choices that are not good. When we follow examples that are really poor ones. And when we hold on to the silliness, the foolishness, and the deadliness of our sinful nature thinking. And he reminds us that, yes, we are sinners, But even in our weakness, as Paul says, he is strong. So we turn around and we find out that God has given us a blessing. It's called the way out, the way of escape. So when we are under the stress, and when we are challenged, and when we doubt, and when we're perplexed, when we're confused, and when we're angry, when we're bitter, and when we're sad and depressed, when our sinful nature wants to take charge of our whole being, body and soul, and lead us straight to everlasting condemnation, there is another way. And the scriptures encourages us to show by our own life and our own choices the way. That when it's hard, we trust in Christ. When we're weak, we lean on Christ. When we're confused, we seek Christ. We don't turn away from Christ. We have the way, the truth, and the life. The way of escape, even of our failures, our sinfulness, we are reminded that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose again. That meant he paid for our sin, and he gives us new life. I mean, there's no other way. There's no other avenue. There's no other path to follow. And we get to be examples of what it means to be alive in Christ, imperfect in body, imperfect and weak in our faith, but yet we still, by the power of God, we do not turn away from him. I mean, think about it. What happened to the people of Israel? They died. It doesn't say they got eternal life. Since they died, they were destroyed. And these stories that Paul's referring to, and the narratives, there's more in the scriptures that you can go back to, are similar to maybe the events at a high school when they bring a car that was in an accident driven by a drunk driver, and they show just pulverize and demolish the car is. And in that accident, there was probably the cost of life. And they'll tell the high school kids, look at this. This is what can happen when you drink and you drive. But you know what our sinful nature does? That driver couldn't control it. That driver was stupid. I'm not stupid. I can control it. My body's different. Drink and drive. No, I've already done that, and that didn't happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. And in our world today, when we hear the words of judgment, our world today turns around, even within many Christian congregations. Oh, God's got good. No, God's got, not my God. God is not going to do that. My God's a loving God. My God's going to allow me to have my fun. God's going to not care about all the details. My God is just not that micromanaging. My God gives me permission to decide for myself, to think for myself what's right and wrong and good and evil. And it's not the same for everybody. My God will not condemn me. And that's exactly what the Israelites thought at the bottom of Mount Sinai. And that's exactly what the Israelites thought when there were snakes. And that's exactly what the Israelites thought again and again. And look how that turned out. Our God is loving. He sent his son. Our God is very present in word and sacrament. Our God is very, very careful about trying to teach us and show us the right way. God is not passive. God is not detached. God is not transcendent. God is not removed, but he is here. And he's trying to tell you, don't jump. Because many things in our world, the many choices that we face, are not much different than the guy on the peak of that mountain. But we're without the suit. And we're thinking of jumping. And we're wondering, what will it be like to fly? Wouldn't that be cool? And it's nuts. Instead, he's saying, think about the examples of the believers who stayed the course, who were strengthened by Christ in the hard times, who praised God all times, and trust in his plan for life and salvation. The examples are there. The examples are here. It sounds initially like all this text is about warning, like last week. But it's really about learn. Spiritually discern what is happening, what choices you make, where are you headed, what is it really costing you, what do you think you're gaining, and realize nothing, no one else offers you and gives you what God does. Repent and return to the Lord your God, for in him is life and salvation. Amen.